Okay, everybody quiet while they're putting these away. And just prior to Brother and Sister Blue coming, please be quiet. I told this to our church, and since I've been there since 1973, I may have told them more than once. When you get older, sometimes you forget what you've said, and you just say it again. And but I told them just last week that when I was your age, campers, and I'm talking to you, so if you would please listen to me, not your neighbor. When I was your age, my parents were in church. And therefore, I was in church. And I can remember when I was probably on the older side, maybe 10, 11, I remember the Lord speaking to my heart. And I didn't know what to do because the church I was in, I could take you there today and show you where I was sitting, all the way in the back. But that church didn't believe that children could get saved. They thought you had a free pass until you reached a certain age. And maybe that's not a good excuse, but I was just a small child like you, and I didn't know what to do. So I did nothing. And it cost me many sorrowful years. Now you listen as Brother and Sister Blue come tonight to them and understand that you don't have that excuse. That's why this camp is here, because when God speaks to you at Camp Dove, we not only believe you can get saved, we know you can get saved, and we're going to help you pray through. So you pay attention to Brother and Sister Blue as they deliver their heart to you tonight.
Thank you, Brother Maggard. How about everybody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That sounds so good, and I'm glad that we're in church tonight. We've had a wonderful day, haven't we? Did anybody here besides me have a good time today? All right. I'm glad you did. It's been a fun day, hasn't it? I mean, starting out first thing this morning down there at Sister Ruth Maggard's class, and the puppets did great, and the skits and the games, and then following that yellow brick road, I'm sure glad that that scarecrow guy found out that he did have a brain, right? And he can use it to follow the Lord. And so that was wonderful. I enjoyed that so much. And then we came back in the afternoon, and Sister Debbie Maggard's class, she had this set up like a baseball field, and she's calling it the Field of Life, and running the bases and trying to overcome the enemy in the process. So we're learning a lot of wonderful things. And in between all of those really, really needful, important lessons, well, we're having a lot of fun too. Anybody go down the water slide? No, I didn't. I got to put my hand down. How many of you went down the water slide? Did you get wet when you went down it? Yeah, I thought you did. It was fun. And I was glad I got to see some of the boys going down it. Been a great day. The food's been wonderful. Let's give the cooks a good hand clap tonight. Oh, yeah. Start out last night with a famous cheeseburger at the concession stand after church. Then for lunch today, I had a chili cheese hot dog with everything on it, which means I probably won't preach too long tonight. But it was good. And then roast beef for dinner. Man, it was wonderful. One other thing I want to say, and maybe a couple other things, but I got surprised today when I was telling little Mary the Bible story. There was something that happened that was unexpected, and I've been laughing all afternoon thinking about it. Those guys that were Joseph's brothers, they were the best bad guys I've ever seen. Weren't they good? And all of Joseph's brothers, stand up tonight. Stand up wherever you're at. All of Joseph's brothers. I won't do it tonight because we're trying to get serious here, but I'm tempted. I'd love to hear a repeat of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. I'm telling you, you can be seated. I'm not going to do that, but that was a memorable moment for me at Camp Dove. And boy, they were a beautiful choir, weren't they? Led by little Mary singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Let me tell you something before we get into the message. I'm glad that I'm a Christian tonight. We have a lot of fun, and we enjoy one another. And we don't have to go home feeling ashamed or guilty because of the fun that we've had. We just love being around each other, learning, growing, and I'm glad I'm a Christian. This year I've been kind of celebrating because this makes the 40th year since I gave my life to Jesus. I got saved when I was over 19 years old, almost 20 years old, but I was on the wrong road. I was heading in the wrong direction, and some of you have heard me say it before, but you know, I've told my testimony. I used to have hair down the middle of my back, involved in a lot of stuff, and I'm glad that Jesus saved me from that. But I want to tell you tonight, I get asked a lot to tell my testimony, but I think that Sister Blue's got the better testimony. And I want her to tell you how she got saved and share that with you. And then we're going to get into the Word of God here in just a minute.
Well, I always enjoy sharing my testimony, because the Lord has been so good to me ever since I was just a child. And I've told it here before, but there's new faces here that has never heard my testimony. But my mother was always involved in the altar service and the music. She played music. So my dad would always take me to the altar. He didn't leave me at the pew to play or do whatever I wanted to do, but he always took me to the altar with him and sat me up on the altar while he prayed. And one night when my dad was kneeling there praying, the Lord touched my heart. I was 4 years old, and the Spirit of the Lord touched my heart. And I told my dad, I said, "Daddy, I want to be a Christian too." And I crawled off that altar and knelt beside my dad. He put his arms around me, and he led me to Jesus. I was 4 years old. I can't remember what happened last week, but I can remember what happened that day when I was 4 years old, when the Lord touched my heart. The tears flowed down my face, and I felt the Lord cleansing my heart. And I hadn't been out in the world and done bad things, but boys and girls, we were all born with a sinful heart. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then when I was 8 years old, I was in camp meeting, and the Lord dealt with me about the Holy Ghost. And I decided that I want the experience of the Holy Ghost in my life. So I went to the altar every night that week to ask the Lord for the Holy Ghost. And do you know, the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old. Praise the Lord. It was a wonderful experience. Praise the Lord. And He has preserved me, and He has kept me from a horrible life of sin. He has kept me from getting involved in drugs. He has kept me from getting involved in alcohol and smoking cigarettes. He has given me a happy life. And I am so glad to be saved tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I think what Brother Maggard was telling you, the important thing tonight, boys and girls, listen to what he has to say. Because Jesus is the answer to all your problems. Jesus doesn't break homes up. Jesus doesn't do bad things to you. It's the devil that does those bad things. And I'm going to sing the chorus that I sang last night in the altar service, and I'd like for you to help me. It says, do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Whatever it takes, boys and girls, get to Jesus. He is your source of help tonight. Do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Just one touch will be enough for all you're needing. And when you hear Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now. Get to Jesus. Oh, do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Just one touch will be enough for all you're needing. And when you hear Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now to get to Jesus. I'll do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Just one touch will be enough for all you're needing. And when you hear Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now to get to Jesus. Help me now. Do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Just one touch will be enough for all you're needing. And when you hear Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now to get to Jesus. One more time. Oh, do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Just one touch will be enough for all you're needing. And when you hear Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now to get to Jesus. And when you hear Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now to get to Jesus. And when you hear Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now to get to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Brother Maggard stepped up here to ask me to tell all of you not to leave until he dismisses you, okay? So wait till Brother Maggard dismisses you before you go out tonight. last night after I read that scripture at the end of the service when you were dismissed and everybody started, you know, running out this door and that door, I heard one of the counselors say, "They're fleeing thither." So at least one person remembered the scripture that I read. Tonight I've got another kind of a odd scripture that I want to read for you. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. If you have your Bibles and you want to read along with me, you go to the front of the Bible, and you know the first book of the Bible is Genesis, and then there's Exodus, then Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it's the fifth book in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. And just going to read verse number 44. "And the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah." All right, I see some of you standing. Maybe the rest of you'd like to stand for a minute. So if you have your Bibles in hand, keep it open there. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let me read that one more time. Verse 44. "And the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do." They chased you as bees do. I want to preach to you tonight, if the Lord will help me, on the battle with the bees. Okay? The battle with the bees. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for the choir song that was sung, and we felt your presence, Lord, as they were praying and singing for you to guard our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would please speak to these boys and girls tonight, that you would enable me to say those things you've gave me in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, is there anybody here that is really, 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 really scared of bees? Is there anybody? Oh, a few of you. Okay. All right, let me back up on the really, really, reallys. Just let me ask, how many of you are scared of bees? All right, I think about everybody. But is there anybody that if a bee flew in here right now, you would totally freak out, come unglued, it would just really, okay. Well, there's several of you. You know what that's called? It's called melissophobia. Melissophobia. It's a fear of bees. All right? Is there anybody here tonight that if you got stung by a bee, you would have an allergic reaction and it would make you really sick and you might even have to go to the hospital? Okay? There's a hand up over here. There's a couple of you. All right? So I see another one over there. So there's a few people here that if they get stung by a bee, it's serious. That's called anaphylaxis. Now, how about that for a word? That is a life-threatening allergic reaction to bee stings. Now, none of us wants to get stung by a bee. How many of you really enjoy getting stung by a bee? Oh, yeah. And you see these brave boys here. And a bee comes in right now and stings them. And they say, "Oh, wow, that was fun." Okay, hands down. I want to talk to you tonight about the battle with the bees. I like to use illustrations, and sometimes my illustrations are more complicated than others. And this is one of those times, and I kind of threw it out to Brother Michael back there in the sound booth. At the last moment, well, not the last moment, but today I put this on him. I said, "Do you have any contacts? Do you know anybody that because he works on a farm and he's, you know, involved in agriculture?" I thought he might know. So I said, "Do you know anybody that works with bees and has bee gear?" He said, "I sure do. Let me get on the phone." And by this evening service, he got this stuff. Come on up, Brother Michael. He's gonna bring some stuff to show you tonight about bees. And I'm gonna try to get preaching here in a few minutes. But But let me show you something before we get going. Wow, how about that for a scary outfit? Has anybody ever seen a beekeeper's outfit before? Beekeeper gear? Yeah, just set that right here. And then come on up here if you would. Does anybody know what this is right here? What is it? Okay, it's what the bees make their honey in. This is a bee box or a beehive box. You might see these. They have a lot of farms where people are into bees. They have stacks of these piled on top of each other. And bees, it's amazing. I don't know how they find it, what draws them. I haven't studied all of this out, but I know that they find their way to these bee boxes, and they have these things inside here that has some kind of material on it, and the bees will fasten their wax to it, and they build their hives on it. It just so happens that the one that they brought us has a partial leftover beehive on it. No bees in it that I know of, but that's part of their beehive. And at some point, when they're really working, and the bees are gathering their pollen, and they're bringing it into this nest, these little slats here, these wood things, inserts, are going to be dripping with honey. They're going to be covered with honeycomb and covered with honey. And so, how many of you have had honey from the grocery store? Usually comes in one of those little bear-shaped bottles, you know, or something. Have any of you ever had real honey, like from a farm where they've got it like this? That's the best kind. It's got a lot of flavor and a lot of health nutrients to it. And so a lot of people raise this, and then they take the honey from the hive, and they put it in jars, and they sell it, and they make money from it. And so it's really quite interesting to me how this all works. But honey must be important, because even in the Bible, the word honey is there 56 times. And it usually refers to the blessings of God, a land flowing with milk and honey. It speaks of nutritious supply from God taking care of us. So honey's a good thing. At least I like honey. I had a friend of mine down in Alabama just a few weeks ago, gave me a big jar of honey that he got out of one of those beehives like that, and it is so tasty, and I eat it almost every morning for breakfast. I love honey. Anybody else like it? All right, a lot of hands going up. And so you can eat it on toast, you can pour it on pancakes. I mean, honey's good. Love it. Sweet, flavorful. But you know what? To get to the honey, you got to get through the bees. Or you get past the bees. Or you got to battle with the bees. I tell you one thing. I don't have that melissophobia thing. I mean, it wouldn't freak me out if a bee came in here right now. But I'm not one of those that's going to get anywhere near a beehive and stick my hands in there where there's thousands of bees working and steal from them what they made. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. How many of you want to do it? All right. Well, maybe you will someday. But let me tell you, if you do it, you need to do it the right way. Not anybody can just walk up here anytime they want to, pull that up and say, I'm going to start licking that and saying, I love honey. No. Nope. That's why they have this bee gear. That's why it's got this netting all over his face so that the bees can't fly up there and sting him. Because if he's going to come up here and get this honey, he needs some protection. Those aren't the actual gloves that come with it. They're much bigger, and they overlap so that they can't fly up the sleeves. But you're going to have gloves on, or they'll sting you in the hands. And probably it would be better if you had the pants that go with this and have it all tucked in properly so that you'll be really protected. At least that's the way I'm going to do it if I go to get honey out of one of these beehives. I don't like that feeling of getting stung. I don't like bee stings. and they're a little creature, but they hurt, don't they? All right? So if you're going to deal with bees, I recommend that you have the right kind of gear. This little thing right here, my friend down in Alabama that works with bees, he told me about this. I'd never seen one, but thankfully Michael was able to get us one. This little smoke pot here. You put a little fire in there. It's got a special resin coating or something on the inside, so it burns at a real low temperature, and it produces a lot of smoke. Now, Michael, would you squeeze that little accordion thing? When you squeeze that, it's going to blow smoke out. And you're going to take one of those with you if you're at a time when the bees are really angry, or maybe it's a time of the year where they're really working and they don't want to be bothered. And that smoke is going to help calm them down or scare them away because they don't like smoke, all right? So that little smoke pot is going to be an important line of defense against the bees. So I thought that was pretty cool. That's pretty interesting there. If you're going to work with bees, you better be equipped to work with bees, all right? And let me tell you, in a few minutes, as we talk about battling the bees, there are other kinds of bees besides honeybees. And when we talk about the bees that we battle in life, you need to be properly prepared and protected to do this battle. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you bringing that stuff up. Yeah, if you want to just leave that right there. And let's give him a hand. Thank you for going to all of that trouble to get that for me today. I really do appreciate it. Yeah, bees do sting. They hurt. And sometimes people can even die from a bee sting. Bees are aggressive. And we need to respect those little tiny creatures. I've got a friend that he's got that problem. He's got that allergy where if he gets stung by a bee, that it's going to be serious. He's going to have to go to the hospital. And we go to his church. We have the last 4 years, and we've helped them with a vacation Bible school there for kids. And almost every year that we've been there, Dustin gets stung by a bee. Now, he's a grown, married man, got kids, and he almost every year gets stung by a bee. I don't remember the last time that I got stung, but the guy that can't afford to get stung, the guy that really gets sick and is in danger, he gets stung almost every year. And last year when we were there at his church, he had the weirdest thing take place. He went out to the storage building to get some stuff for the vacation Bible school, and when he opened the door, one bee flew out of that one wasp flew out of that storage building and flew right past his friend and flew right towards Dustin, and then watch this, flew right up his nose and stung him on the inside of his nose. And I was in the dining hall when Dustin came in, and his eyes were already swelling up, and he's a Christian man, and so, you know, he doesn't cuss or anything like that, but I could see that he was in a lot of pain because he's going like this, and he's stomping his foot, and he's saying, ow! Hold on. I'm going to replay that. Not as Dustin, but as me, just thinking about it. All right? Just think about it. A bee flies up your nose and stings you on the inside of your nose. Ow! Yeah, you get the point, right? I don't want that to happen to me, but it happened to Dustin. And I saw the swelling happen around his eyes. And in a few minutes, they had to take him to the emergency room. By the time he got to the emergency room, his face was so swollen, so red. His eyes were closed and shut. The doctors had to give him a special shot to counteract the allergy of that bee sting. And in fact, the doctor said if you would have waited much longer to get here to the emergency room, you probably wouldn't have lived through it. So I want to tell you, we can't just ignore the power and the poison in these little tiny creatures that we call bees. The Bible tells us here, and it's kind of a strange scripture, they're talking about an enemy. They're talking about a battle that they were in. The enemy was actually called the Amorites. They dwelt up in the mountains. And they got in a battle with the Israelites. And the Word of God says here that those Amorites, they came out against you like bees do. And they chased you. And they overcame you. That was a sad testimony to their accomplishment in battle. But the reality is that when God said that those Amorites fight like bees, there was something very specific about that. I want to tell you that we have an enemy tonight, boys and girls. We have an enemy tonight that fights like bees. Some of you, I believe some of you in this service have been recently attacked by some of those bees. Some of you have been stung by some of those bees. I'm not talking now about yellow jackets. I'm not talking about wasps. I'm not talking about bumblebees. I'm not talking about honeybees. I'm talking about our enemy. I'm talking about things that happen in our life that's like being stung by a bee. I'm talking about battles that we fight that it's like fighting against a swarm of bees. Hey, man, I meant to ask earlier, you're a Ponting, right? No? Okay. But a descendant? All right. Okay, that's what I thought. What's your name? Would you come and help me, please? Come on up here on the platform. All right. And what's your name? Dion. All right, Dion, I want you to stand over here for just a second. Now, this probably isn't going to look very fearful to you, all right? In fact, I was a little disappointed when I went to the teacher's supply store thinking that I might be able to get some pictures of bees. You know, they have pictures of all kinds of creatures. They've got pictures of dinosaurs. They really look real and put them up on their bulletin boards. But when I went to looking for a picture of a bee, this is the only thing that I could find. Now, doesn't that look scary? Why in the world, after all the stuff I just told you about bee stings, do they have that guy smiling at us? He looks like a fish with bubbles on his head. And he's smiling. He doesn't look threatening at all. So I doubt very much that if I start, you know, flying around over here with this bee, that he's going to be very, very frightened. Tell me your name again. Dion? Yeah, Dion? All right, so I got it right. No, that doesn't look too terrifying, but I do want you to think in the term of a bee, and the bee is buzzing. And the bee has a stinger. And this is the biggest bee that you've ever seen in your life. And he's buzzing all around your head. And you're just going to stand there. What are you going to do? Huh? You're going to swat it? Can I tell you that that's the worst possible thing to do? I need those Joseph's brothers to come up here and help me real quick, if you would. All right. Some of you have been battling a big bee in your life. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I think that, here, Brother Brad, I think that some of you know what it is, the big bee that you've been battling. Maybe it's that bully at school that keeps picking on you. He keeps making fun of you. Maybe you're trying to live a Christian life, and that girl at school has been making life miserable for you, laughing at you because of the way that you dress. They talk about you behind your back as you walk by. They think that you don't hear, but you hear. You feel like you're an outcast. You feel like you're abandoned. You feel hurt inside you. That's a bee sting. That's a bee sting. It's a painful thing. It hurts. Sometimes things happen in our life. You might say, well, that's just a little bee. And it's just a little stinger. But it still hurt. And there's times at night that some of you boys and girls have cried yourself to sleep. And nobody even knew what it was that was hurting so bad. It wasn't a bumblebee. It wasn't a honeybee. It wasn't a wasp. Y'all following me? But something stung you. Something stung you down in your heart. Something stung you down in your soul, in your thoughts, and in your mind. It's bothering you. It hurts. Maybe it's the bad attitudes that you see around you. Somebody's just got a bad attitude. Maybe it's your big brother or your big sister or somebody that you know. Maybe even somebody that you go to Sunday school with. I hope not. But that bad attitude has stung you, hasn't it? It hurts. It sure does. Sometimes it's bad words. I don't know that anybody here uses bad language. I hope that you don't. But almost everyone here has heard bad language around about us and the way they use it, and it gets in our head, in our mind, and it stings us. And then some of you, I think, you probably live with people who use bad language all the time, and they might even use it at you, and they say hurtful things to you. It stings. It hurts. Those are the kind of bees I'm talking about. Some of you might have been stung by the bee I call bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is an anger that gets inside of you, where you start feeling like you hate everybody. You don't like anybody. You're mad at everybody. You're mad at the world. A bitterness has got inside you. I don't know how that happened, but somewhere along the line, you got stung by the bee of bitterness. Some of you have got stung by the bee of brokenness. Brokenness. You have a brokenness inside your heart. Maybe it's because you've been in a broken home. Your parents have been divorced. You've been caught in the middle. You've been torn. It hurts. You wish that you had a happy home like other people. But something has happened and you've been affected by the brokenness of your home life. Or maybe it's a broken heart. Something has happened inside you that you feel like your heart's been broken. You get the point? All of those words that I just used start with the letter B. I'm talking about brokenness, bitterness, bad attitudes, bad words, bullies. Or put it another way, maybe you've got stung by the stinger of sin or the stinger of shame. Somehow or another, you've exposed yourself to things, or things have exposed themselves to you in a way that you've already been stung by the stinger of sin. Sin is painful. It hurts. It really does. And some of you are feeling the shame of that sin, something that you have done or has been done to you that makes you feel ashamed. The bee sting of the enemy. The bee sting of the enemy that wants to destroy your life, chase you away from Christ, chase you away from church, chase you away from the Lord, chase you away from everything that's good. The devil, the enemy of our soul, the people of this world that want to make you give up and quit. They fight against us. The world fights against us, and the devil fights against us like this enemy in the Bible. The Bible says that the Amorites, they fought against you like bees. Like bees, they fight against us. That means several things. Number one, they're very aggressive. They come at us forcefully. They come at us fast. They come quickly. You can't outrun a bee. Now, I read an article when I was studying for this that somebody said the best defense is to run, and I'm going to come back to that. And they say the reason is that a bee only flies 8 miles an hour, and most people can run 15 miles an hour. Then I read another one that said, no, bees fly 20 miles an hour. I don't know how fast bees fly, but I know that they are fast. How many of you know that? I know that they are fast. I know that they come quickly. That's how the enemy does. Hardly before you even suspect it, The enemy comes against you. He comes at you from various directions, from this way or that way. If you were a beekeeper and you were prepared for it, you could put on the bee gear and you'd be able to withstand it. Let me tell you, the best thing that could happen for some of you tonight is to realize that when you go home, there's going to be bees. So get ready for it and get equipped for it. Amen. What you really need is not a net mask over your face, but what you need to do is to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Have your breast covered with the breastplate of righteousness. Put on, come on now, take up the shield of faith. Put on the boots of righteousness and go fully clothed in the armor of God when you leave this place so that you'll be able to stand in the presence of all of the bees that you're going to face. But what I'm worried about here tonight is some of you have already been stung. Some of you have come here to this camp. You've already been stung. You weren't prepared. You didn't see it coming. And yet it happened. It happened quickly. It came against you. And it hurt. It is stung. It's been a painful thing in your life. And you don't know how to get help. You don't know how to get over it. Let me tell you, some of you, it's been so painful. It's like having this allergic reaction. It's been like having a bee fly up your nose. It's been like having your eyes shut, and the pain has been so intense. You need help. You need help. I believe that there's somebody tonight that can help you, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He wants to be the doctor that'll help you to get over the bee stings of your life. But there's one more thing about bees. It's not just how fast they are and how unpredictable they are. Where's my bag? It's over here. But it's also the fact that they come in swarms. Come on, brother, step up here and help me for just a minute here. They come in swarms. That means a whole bunch of them coming all at the same time from every direction. And once again, those don't look like very scary bees, but we're going to use our imagination tonight. And I want these bees to swarm Dion tonight, come at him from every direction while he stands there and smiles and wonders what he's going to do. He's just going to stand and swat at the bees. Let me tell you, this is a bad predicament to be in. I don't want to be swarmed with bees. And yet some of you feel like you're living in a swarm of bees. You feel like your house is constantly a swarm of bees. Fights going on. Bad words all the time. People making fun of you everywhere. You go to school and it's like a swarm of bees all around about you. Is there anything that you can do? Yes, there is. I believe that there is. Well, first of all, you could build a fire and get some smoke going, because smoke scares away the bees. A good thing to do would be to start building a fire of prayer at the altar. Build a fire of prayer and talk to the Lord and get on fire for God. Somehow or another, when you get on fire for God, that's going to take care of a lot of the bees. Amen. I believe that the Lord is able to scare away some of the bees in your life. How many can say amen to that? I believe that there's some bee repellent that you could spray, you know, that scares away bees. I believe that we have that too tonight. There's a powerful bee repellent called the Bible. Amen. Somehow or another, if you use the Word of God, it's going to scare away some of these bees. Look at that one go and that one go. The bee repellent scaring away some of these bees. They don't like it. It's a powerful Word of God. We need victory tonight. Some of you need help tonight. You need the Lord to deliver you in this swarm of bees. You're not able to handle it on your own. But I still believe this. I still believe, after reading and studying on this and talking to my friend that deals with bees, he said the best possible thing that you could do is find shelter. You might get stung a couple of times in the process, but if you're being swarmed by bees, you've got to find a place of shelter. Get in a car and close the doors and the windows, or get in a house amen, a place of safety. Or he said, if there's a deep, dark woods nearby, run into the woods. The bees might not follow you into the woods because they don't like these dark, enclosed places. In other words, find shelter and find it as fast as you can. And so here it goes again. Run for your life. Here it is tonight. When you get in that swarm of bees, you've got to find help and safety and shelter. There is a place that you can go. Don't stand here and swat in your own strength and power. There's a place that you can go where there'll be safety. Let's run to Jesus. Let's try to get away from the situations and problems of our life and get into the presence of Jesus. I believe that the Lord is our help. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our deliverer. I believe that you that are in the battle with the bees tonight, you need to find some safety and shelter in the presence of Jesus, who is able to help you and deliver you and strengthen you in this service tonight. Let's stand together, if you would, everyone, let's stand together and keep our eyes closed for just a moment as they get a song, get ready to sing. I've never preached on bees before, but I felt like the Lord gave me these thoughts to give to you at Camp Dove this week, to warn you about the battle with the bees, and to tell you that God's aware of the fact that you've been stung, and He wants to heal that sting in your heart and life if you'll come to Him. If you'll come to Him, He'll be the doctor that'll take away the pain in your heart and heal you. He can pull the stinger out. He can help you tonight. And if you're being swarmed by a battle with bees, run to Jesus tonight. Build a fire at this altar. Get the Word of God in your heart that you might be able to overcome. Lord, we thank you tonight for your presence and your power. I believe that you're speaking to somebody. So I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would draw them to this altar, that you would encourage, strengthen, heal, and help tonight in the delivering power of Jesus. I give you the praise. Sing it, Sister Blue. Okay. Do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Come on. Aren't you tired of those bees swarming around your head, swarming around your heart?
Do whatever.
Come to Jesus tonight.
It takes.
Bring your problems to the Lord.
Jesus.
That's all I'm saying, children, is bring your problems to the Lord.
Bring
this problem to the Lord.
And
the problem of your life. Bring your problems to the Lord.
I wouldn't walk, I'd run right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
To get to Jesus.
Bring your problems to the
oh,
Lord.
Do whatever it takes.
Your bitterness,
to get to
your
Jesus.
Brokenness.
Just one
the
touch
bullies.
Will be enough for all your needs.
The bad influences
and
that are all around
you
about
hear
you.
Him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run.
Come on, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to the Lord tonight.
To get to Jesus.
Bring it to the Lord tonight.
Oh, do whatever it takes to
oh,
get
God,
to Jesus.
Oh, God, that you would touch them and help them tonight.
Just one touch will be
oh, Lord,
enough
the enemy
for all your needs.
It's come in like a flood.
And
the enemy
you hear him
come
say,
against
come,
us like a swarm of bees.
Walk,
I pray tonight, Lord,
right
that you would rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That you would push
Jesus.
Back the powers of hell.
Oh,
that you would push back the powers of darkness and discouragement.
To Jesus.
Lord, I pray that somebody would
just
get help tonight.
Just one touch will be enough for all your needed. And
all
when
of that,
you hear him
all
say,
of that bad
come,
language and bad
walk,
bad attitudes, it's like bees
now,
buzzing all around about you.
To get to
oh,
Jesus.
Let the peace of God help you tonight, children.
Oh, do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Just one touch will be enough for all your needed. And when you hear him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now. Get to Jesus. Oh, do whatever it takes to to get to Jesus.
Find shelter in Jesus tonight.
Just one
get to where shelter
will be
is.
Enough for all your needs.
He's a safe place.
And when you hear
He's
him
a
say,
safe
come,
place.
I wouldn't walk, I'd run.
You're going to recover.
Right now,
you're going to get over this with the Lord's help.
To get to Jesus. Oh, do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Just one touch will be enough for all you're needing. And when you hear him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now to get to Jesus. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus.